You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Simon Parks. Simon is a lifelong experiencer of aliens, shadow people, elementals, and UFOs. These include mantid or mantis beings, Draconis reptilian, feline, small and tall gray creatures, crystalline beings, and other creatures that can't be identified. Simon is an elected politician in Britain and was elected to office after he went public. Simon's biological mother worked for the British Security Service, often called MI5, between 1965 and 1979. Simon's grandfather, who was a British diplomat, worked for the foreign arm of the British intelligence, referred to as MI6. He comes from an Illuminati family and has been taken or abducted not by the Greys, but by the Mantids. He came out with a story and was still elected into local political position where he lives, which bodes well for humanity. So you can find out more about Simon on his website, and that is www.simonparks.com. It's listed in the show bio, which is in the permanent archives. So let's welcome Simon to the show now. Hi, Simon. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm absolutely fine. It's lovely to speak to you and your listeners. It's www.simonparks.org.
Oh, thank you. I knew that I had gotten that wrong. Sorry about that.
No, it's no problem, but it's lovely to speak with you.
So I've been rewatching a Steven Spielberg series, Taken, which kind of gives us a small peek into the abduction phenomenon. And I think you're the person to ever come out about the mantids and other ET species. So I'm going to lay the groundwork by asking you, when did your experiences begin, and was being part of the Illuminati family a part of that preparation for your experiences with these various different races?
I always judge the quality of a presenter or the questioner by the quality of his or her questions. That's a very good question. You've really started off by linking an elite Illuminati family with alien or off-world intervention, and that's a very important aspect to bring about.
Okay.
So to the first part of your question, Lance, I was still in my crib. I was a very small child.
Wow.
When these creatures came to visit me, and in a way, that's a blessing, because it gave me the time to develop and to come accustomed to them. I have said in the past to other people that if you were to take a child and fly them from Heathrow Airport in London to JFK in America as a three-month-old baby, by the time that child was maybe 5 years old, it would fly anywhere in the world and be perfectly okay. And so it is that if you're a small baby and you see these things and nothing bad happens to you, then you become accustomed to them and you can cope with it. So from a very small child, I saw creatures that researchers call mantis, the Draconis reptilians. These were the two main stock-type creatures that I would see regularly. I did see greys, different sorts of greys, not very frequently. The only person that I could really talk about this to was my biological mother, And every time I would tell her something, she would say, well, draw it down and I'll take it and show my friends. So having come from that sort of background, being interacted with by these off-world creatures, to come to the second part of your question, yes, they go hand in glove. And I think many people who have come from a military background, particularly a military background, they would understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Now, the mantas are in alignment or in some kind of agreement with the reptilians, apparently, according to one of your interviews, and they're predominantly fourth dimensional. Is that accurate? They have different... different goals.
Yes, they are. They are fourth dimensional, just as the Draconis reptilians are fourth dimensional. They have an agreement with the reptilians on certain fields, but they don't see eye to eye on everything. So, in other words, they each play their own separate game. It's a bit like the Chinese and the Americans and the public. Public gaze, they all see eye to eye, but behind the scenes they go do their own thing. So I think that's a good way of putting it.
Huh. So now, there. Let's talk a little bit about the abduction phenomena, because you've had personal experiences, and a lot of the abductions are apparently military, or my lab, and they are... predominantly of a negative nature. Can you sort this out for us as to, you know, how many, what's the percentage of people that are actually being abducted and worked with, and what percentage is government programs that they're operating for their own agenda, and who's
right
behind them?
Right. Anybody who's a legitimate abductee or contactee, I prefer the term experiencer for myself, because I've given an agreement with these creatures, so I don't consider myself to be abducted, because I have agreed for them to come and visit me. Mm. So I prefer the word experiencer, but there are plenty of people who do not give the agreement and they are taken against their will, so an abduction is the correct terminology in their case. My lab, the military, will be interested in any genuine abductee or contactee, and what they wish to do is to chip them, put some form of implant in them so that they can monitor them. They also will themselves abduct that individual and through a mind control program attempt to understand what the aliens have communicated. The humans wish to understand the technology that abductee may have seen, any weapons they may have seen, any information about the forthcoming future of the Earth they may wish to know. So there's a big game of cat and mouse. So the aliens come down, they visit somebody, and then maybe a few days later or a week later, the military will come along and try and capture that person, abduct them, try and understand what's gone on. And it's a game of catch-up. So as a percentage, I can't give you that percentage. What I can tell you is over the last 5 years, all what I would call high-end abductees or contactees have all had my lab experiences. So we're talking many hundreds.
Mm. Mm. So what is the agenda behind the experiencers and the abductions? And who is behind the negative system of domination and control of the New World Order that's attempting to further enslave us here on the planet? There are so many rumors about archons and this and that and the other thing, and it seems like there's a lot of disinformation about that subject.
There's always disinformation when the truth is there, because that's what a smokescreen does. It hides the truth. Mm. So the more disinformation out there, then the more important must be the truth that's buried beneath it. And I would say to people, then that's your, cue to go digging and see what you can find out. You put in about four or five questions there, Lance. I'll do my best. I'll probably miss some of them. I consider the Archons to be the puppet masters. They are the ones that even pull the strings of the reptilians. So I see the Archons as an artificial intelligence network, not bodied in the sense that we would understand a human body or any form of body. They are a disincarnate intelligence, which is very artificial in its procedure. If your listeners make a note and they Google Marconi deaths, they will come across some very interesting information about a British stroke American company called Marconi, which makes electronics for the military. And over a two and a half year period, something like, I think, 22 scientists died. And the official line on this is that they were all working on the Stingray missile or Ronald Reagan's Star Wars program. And indeed they were, but that was a cover. They were really working on a defense mechanism against AI. About 10 years prior to that, or maybe 7 years prior to that, the American military, God bless them, had come across a number of elements of evidence which showed that an artificial intelligence force was attempting to subvert a lot of their secret bases. So they set about looking for a defense mechanism against this, and the British and American scientists are perhaps some of the best in the world. They got them together in a British base, and if your listeners go Google, they'll probably find out where that was. And indeed, my understanding is that they were successful, and they created some sort of device that could counter the artificial intelligence that was being detected. Now, I'm not going to judge what happened. I can't say if it's right or wrong. But what I can tell you is that once that mechanism of defense had been created, it was decided that those scientists should not remain alive, because then the secrets could be gained from them. And over a 2.5 year period, something like 22 people died. And the official reports were they all committed suicide. And one very, very striking example, which again people will find online if they look, one chap, scientist, got into his motor car, put a rope around his neck, tied it to a tree, and then put his foot on the gas pedal and cut his head off. And that went down as a suicide. So we begin to understand how the elites control every element of power, whether it's the media, whether it's the judiciary, the law courts, whether it's the multinationals, whoever it is. So that was a system that was they were made aware of, called artificial intelligence. That's the Archons taken care of. You talk about agendas. Well, the problem is that there's more than one sort of alien entity, and each alien entity has its own agenda. So unless we can talk about a specific alien group, it's very hard to answer that. You also asked about what's the thing behind the experiences. I didn't quite understand that question, but basically, most experiencers do not want to go public. Why would they? Because when you go public, the elite just turn on you, the media turns on you, you're labeled a nut or an attention seeker, and very few people come forward, and those people that do come forward do so because they've got a story to tell, and it's too big to sit on. You know, if you know something is truth, then you know, it's very hard. And the case with me, that for many, many years, I thought, well, I daren't go public with it because no one will believe me. And you get to the point where you think, well, to heck with this. I'm going to tell the truth. And if anybody's out there with any decency or honesty, they'll go and do their own research. And maybe the time was right. Maybe 20 years ago, the time was never right. So I think that probably gets most of those points that you brought up, Lance.
The control system that you're talking about is so powerful and pervasive that it literally has a lockdown on just about everything. And, you know, the corporations and the politicians and the royals and the Vatican and beyond that are seem to be working together to make that even more solidified. I was just listening to a show with John Lear where he's talking about the mining operations on the far side of the moon and the idea that it's actually has rivers and the rest of it, and that Cheney is involved with the Mars base and so on. So how much of this, you clearly have more insight about this. How far does does that control system extend?
Well, Dick Cheney is a very interesting chap. Let's talk about that first of all. Dick Cheney was head of a corporation called the Mars Corporation, and they have their own small army. The army is paid for and managed by the corporations. However, regular United States military have to, I don't quite know what the word is, but they would go over regularly and do the training. So the regular military do the training, but the actions are taken part by a small group of troops who are completely paid for and managed by our corporations. I was chatting to a retired Army officer, American Army officer, who said that he took early retirement from the American military because he no longer, and I quote, "I no longer wanted to work for a corporation." Mm. And I said, "Are you telling me that the military is controlled and run by corporations?" To which he said, "Oh, yes, it is." So if the American military is completely dominated by corporations, then it is very easy to be invasive into every other walk of life, whether it be a public library, whether it be a politician, or whether it be the local university, the education establishment. If you wish to control a very big population and you wish to maintain the status quo, then you have to control all those elements or arms of the state and the private sector, but mainly the arms of the state that people have to engage with. You can gain so much information about people, whether it's through a social media site or whether it's through officially filling up for your driving license, whatever it is. So there's lots and lots of opportunities for the system to maintain its control, and that's what's been going on for a long time.
It does seem that there are also various factions that are kind of warring against each other, that there's a Nazi arm of this, the Nazi tentacle that extends into the Bush family, and there is a breakaway civilization that has developed such technologies that they literally are beyond anything that we are presently aware of, and they're right under our noses. Can you share a little bit about that? There are super soldiers, and I'm also wondering if how long cloning might have been in operation.
Well, you're going towards the exopolitics side here, because you are almost talking about a different world within a world. In other words, a state within a state of so secret that it has technologies ranging from the cancer cure right through to what's called zero-point energy or free energy, and almost is a separate community, a separate group of elitisms within a government, within a country, within a world. So it's a compartmentalized situation. So that is very much the case. And then they're very jealous of guarding what they see as their secrets. In terms of, you mentioned specifically super soldiers. Super soldiers were just merely copies of something that elite humans in government had seen aliens do. And it was an attempt to, if you go right back to the days of Adolf Hitler, mm-hmm. Adolf Hitler used a guy called Dr. Mengele to see if it was possible to do mind control to people who would be resistant to alien mind probing. With a number of alien species, they are able to enter your mind at will and just take anything out of it they want. Mm-hmm. So Adolf Hitler asked Mengele if he could do that. And so a lot of his early experiments were aimed on that. And then Mengele, who was a completely awful person, then went off and did some of his most horrendous experiments. And after the end of the Second World War, the American administration was so impressed with Dr. Mengele's experiments that they gave him American citizenship. and forgave him all his murders, and he became known as Dr. Black, and in other hospitals he was called Dr. Green. And of course he was the main physician at the Montauk Project on Long Island, which was a time travel project. So the Fourth Reich is nice and happy living in America, in terms of a lot of American ideology was taken from the Third Reich. Indeed, the idea of deep underground bases, dumbs, came from the Nazi Party. The Nazis were, in 1943-44, building lots of underground bases to hide all their loot and treasure and their weapons. And when the American army overran that part of Germany, they were just absolutely astounded at the success of these underground bases, because they'd resisted all the bombing. The flying fortresses had dropped tons and tons of bombs, and it hadn't damaged these bases. And it was that that made the Americans then go on this great big program of building underground bases. So you have a huge connection between German money that had come originally from America to fund that part of the war. Now remember, it was the oil that originally came from the Bush administration that was sent over in tankers that kept the Germans afloat oil-wise. And then in 1941, when that was stopped, that's why Hitler, in 1942, attacked Stalingrad and the two oil wells to the side of it, because he was no longer getting oil from America. So America, as a driving powerhouse to create more wealth, saw a fantastic opportunity with the Third Reich, and you know, it paid off for them.
So they're in they have a huge operation today. You mentioned the Fourth Reich. Are they working on cloning or keeping that bloodline from Hitler and his closest people going alive today, so that they can create a repeat, only a successful one, of what they were attempting to do earlier in the war?
No, that was a dream that Hitler had, because I never accepted the fact that Hitler died in the bunker in 1945, and incidentally, neither did my grandfather. You know, my grandfather was always of the opinion that Hitler was alive and living in South America. When we're talking about bloodlines, it's a bit of confusion here. Many people write on the internet, I'm sure they're good meaning and they mean well, but they don't fully perhaps have the picture. Bloodline means two things. It doesn't just mean the blood in your veins. Mm. It actually means your soul. If you have a bloodline, then you have a soul. The Illuminati understand quite clearly that souls reincarnate. So your physical body may change and your name may change, but what is really you inside that body is the same. And over many thousands of years, a soul can reincarnate in different bodies. So that is a bloodline. That is something that you follow, and those souls will choose bodies that are most compatible to them. So you might have a rhesus negative blood group, you might have blue eyes, you might have a blonde hair. So your soul will, the soul will attempt to find a body that's most linked to that. So it's not so much about the bloodline with the American stroke Nazi or German link. This is more of an Illuminati. The Illuminati are more interested in the bloodlines, but the American stroke German link are more about corporations and making money. So that's really where they're about.
So is there any, I've heard rumors that the incarnation process has to do with, has been somewhat corrupted, that it used to be an organic process. And perhaps it never was, but that there is a station on the far side of the moon which handles some kind of reincarnational process that takes souls that are not able to escape the gravity and reassigns them to various bodies on Earth. What is the actual, what do you understand happens to those who are, let's just say a person who is not of the bloodline?
Right. There are, first of all, there are cloning stations here on the Earth. That's a cloning station. There are a number of them. The soul transfer stations that you're alluding to, they're generally off-planet because they are of such high technology that they couldn't afford anybody from the non-initiated to stumble upon them. There are a number of soul transfer stations on a number of foreign bodies outside the Earth's atmosphere. Source, God, whatever you want to call it, has always and always will wish to create souls in a divine way. However, there are a number of alien entities who have the technology and the disrespect for the natural law who do direct souls into bodies of their choice. And it's a very common amongst those creatures on the fourth dimension. There is an energetic net that sits over the Earth, and any soul that attempts to go back to source, back to God, back to where it's originally created from, is trapped in that net and then is sent to one of these soul transfer stations and then is sorted. So if it's a soul from a non-elite family, then it will put into storage until such time as it's required and a body is placed for it. If it's an elite person, then they will already have a body lined up, and they will direct that soul to that body. So it's an ongoing business. It has been for quite a while, and it ensures that the elite stay in control because they are only recycling into the high-end side those people that they wish to be in the top ends of corporations, presidents, prime ministers, people who have an effect to make laws or change the course of history on Earth. They want to make sure those people are part of their family. Certainly in the Vatican, they're very, very high up there as well. So it's a very well oiled operation. I don't approve of it, but I have to admit that, you know, that they've really done a good job.
Who's behind that? The maintenance of the secret societies and the souls being chosen for, you know, for the elite.
If we go back to ancient Egyptian times, we have what we call pharaohs. Originally, a pharaoh was a hybrid, half human, half alien being, because as the human population expanded, it became impossible for just a few thousand aliens to control millions and millions and millions of people. So what they decided to do was to give power or devolve local responsibility to those they could trust. So there had been an awful lot of genetic mixing between off-worlders and people on Earth to create these hybrids. So the hybrids were sufficiently alien to have the loyalty to what they saw as were their gods. And they were able then to place these people out into positions of responsibility to manage their own kingdoms. And if we transfer that to the modern day, you have presidents and prime ministers who manage and have responsibility for the people of their country. So it's just that on a larger scale, and it ensures that the system operates. As to who's in charge, well, if we take a very well-known person called or family called the Rothschilds family, they have a number of meetings where they put leather armchairs in a big circle in the main room or the hallway where the big main staircase comes down. And then there's a very special chair which is pushed up against the side. It's on the left-hand side as you go in through the main doors. And that chair then is pulled out, and an entity will come through a portal from a fourth dimension, will transfer from the fourth dimension to the third dimension, will take the chair. All the leading families are called, and they will all sit in the chair, and they will all make a report to this entity on how they're doing in business or how they're doing in politics, whether the agenda that they have agreed is being advanced, what problems they face, and then the entity will give them some instructions, and then we'll go. So I guess that's probably near the top of the tree, really.
Mm-hmm. Are there any groups that are not aligned with this, with the elite agenda, that are attempting to realign the soul's path to the source's intention?
Yes, in fact, they make the majority now, and that wasn't always the case. Until very recently, there have only been one or two humanoid groups who were prepared to take the battle forward. Most alien groups just say they can't be bothered with the planet Earth, they can't be bothered with the people. A view until very recently was that people had brought this on themselves. It was all about free will. And if billions of people allow themselves to be pushed around by just a handful of elite people, well, that's what they let themselves be doing. You know, it's their problem. They obviously want to be pushed around and treated like slaves. And that was the view until literally 5, 6, 7 years ago, when it was obvious that we were facing the 2012 shift or change. And all these groups that had sat on the sideline had to decide whether they were for humanity or they were against humanity. And thankfully, and very surprisingly, a large number of them formed a federation or a council or a group and decided that they would take the adjustment to, I don't like to say the war, but they would take an adjustment to balance the books on Earth. And ever since then, we've had situations occur above the planet, on the planet, and under the planet, which have slowly but surely began to bring the scales back to an even keel. So we're talking mainly about humanoid groups that have a connection to Earth humanity through many thousands of years of interaction, and some of them share the same genes that we do, and they couldn't turn their back on it. They really couldn't turn their back on their responsibility. So they are here, and they are attempting to bring some sort of balance to what is otherwise a very reptilian-controlled environment.
That's wonderful news. Is there a... You mentioned 2012, and that was kind of a turning point for us. Are we continuing to be in major turning points that will... in which we'll see the revealing of the truth behind the curtain, and where the consciousness can be raised to a point where we are not unconscious of our choices to let go of our sovereignty?
That's another fantastic question, Lars. That's a brilliant question. That's a really, really... It just shows your knowledge and your understanding of the topic is really top-notch. 2012 really did happen. I know lots of people think it didn't because we live in a physical world and they wanted a firework display, or they wanted the ground to open. They wanted some physical sign. And when there was no physical sign, so many people lost heart and said, well, nothing happened. But it did. It really did happen. Because when we... think about the other dimensions, we think in terms of frequency and sound and energies. We don't think in terms of physical. And there was a real energetic shift. And I can give people proof of this, is that since 2012, every industrialized nation has reported crime figures that have gone down. Every industrialized nation on the planet's crime figures have gone down. What we've seen is that the nasty crimes, the vicious crimes, murders and horrible things like that, they've increased. But every other crime has gone down. So what's happening is the good and the average people are becoming more good, and those that are bad are becoming even more evil. So there's going to be a real dividing line of humanity. There'll be no grey area. You'll either be in one side or the other side. And since 2012, the human consciousness is dividing itself as to which side of the fence you're on. Human consciousness is expanding now at a great rate. And that's why lots of tricks and lies that government have done in the past through all major nations are being found out. And it's because consciousness, human consciousness, won't accept to be lied to anymore. So it's becoming harder and harder and harder for these people in power to pull the wool over ordinary people's eyes. So I'm very hopeful there is a big change. We're on the right timeline. That's what the Hadron Collider is about, trying to push us off this timeline. And so we're on a good timeline, and I've got my fingers crossed.
Well, that's pretty much how I've been seeing it, too, and a lot of my friends and guests are talking about the same thing. And you mentioned the Hadron Collider, and I wanted to ask you about that because it has multidimensional purposes, as I understand it. And there's not just one Hadron Collider, there are many. And there's one, according to Gordon Duff, there's one, a larger one, in the process of being built that's even bigger than the one in Europe. So what is the purpose of that? And do we need to be concerned about it?
Yes, we do. There is a linear collider being built in Japan. When the Hadron Collider, which is on the border of France and Switzerland, around that area, when that failed to operate on that key date, 21st of December 2012, because it was designed to activate and prevent humanity from advancing, but surprisingly, it broke down and didn't work. When that happened, the Japanese were forced, and I'm using that word, were forced to build a linear collider. But then it very, very quickly transpired that it was no way would this be built in time. It has to be built by 2017. That is the last opportunity for the window. After 2017, the portal that this collider is supposed to connect with will collapse in on itself. So when they realized that there was no way this linear collider could be built, they then went back to the Hadron Collider and decided on an expansion program in an attempt to boost its power and boost its size. Now, it's running at the moment, but at the moment it's only running test runs. They haven't taken up to full boost yet. We'll see what happens. I've been talking about this 3 years ago, 4 years ago, warning people about the Hadron Collider, and you're quite right, it has a multi-dimensional purpose. It's a weapon, it's a time machine, it's a time distort, it's a DNA alterer, activator. It does everything. That's what these alien technology devices do. Mm-hmm. And it's not beneficial to humanity not because of what it is, but for the purpose to which it's being put to. Mm-hmm. And I will just say to your listeners not to be fearful, because I'm giving your listeners a lot of homework tonight, but if they Google Bluffdale, which is the largest data collection and storage facility anywhere in the world, the Americans have this massive facility at Bluffdale where everybody's email, text, phone call, you name it, Skype call is just stored, regardless of whether you're the man that takes the trash out or whether you're the man that makes billions of dollars. Your information is stored there. Now, if your listeners go and Google Bluffdale, they'll see that last September was the ribbon-cutting ceremony day. This is the day that the governor was invited, all the dignitaries, all the people who'd worked so hard to construct that facility were all invited, and they're going to cut the ribbon. Well, 2 to 3 hours before they cut the ribbon, the whole place had a power outage, and they had to cut the ribbon-cutting ceremony. It had to be cancelled. And this is the way that some people send a message to the most elite in the higher circles that, you know, you are not beyond being stopped. So the Hadron Collider broke down just before the 21st of December 2012 and didn't operate. And on the day that Bluffdale was supposed to open, they couldn't do that either. No bombs, no assassins, just something that most humans don't understand. And this is the war that is taking place quietly. No fanfare, no trumpets, just being fought quietly on behalf of humanity. So, you know, it's an ongoing situation and one that's really fascinating.
Mm. Well, you know, the general public does seem to be aware of that, at least a good portion of it, has heard the idea, which has been seeded, that many of the nuclear facilities and weaponry has been neutralized by various, you know, elements with UFO technology and literally stopped working. So it's really a welcome, it's welcoming to my ears, and I'm sure to anybody that wants to live and survive and thrive here on the planet, that we are getting help and that the darker agendas are not being, they're not being supported or empowered, and they are fizzling. So if 27 is a date when, is that in, I heard something about August 2017. If that's when the portal collapses, what does that say about general humanity? Is that a target date for us to have our, you know, get our inner world in order?
Well, let's remember the date on the Georgia Guidestones. That's your first. The Georgia Guidestones give you a date before them. So there's your first date. Your second date, which is the 17, that really should be when the doors are closed, and that's the time when humanity can push back and will kick back and start to develop. So 2016 will be the crucial year. 2017 will be the year when humanity starts to push back and regain itself. You talked a little bit about nukes and how they're shut down. In 1980, in Britain, a very, very famous case, it will be known in America because it was an American base, called RAF Bentwaters, or Rendlesham, a black triangle alien craft landed. And to cut a long story short, it scrambled all the codes of all the nuclear weapons that were held in that part of Great Britain. They were a tactical battlefield of nuclear weapons. These were not missiles in the true sense of the word. They were artillery rounds, but they were some battlefield missiles as well, which, in case the Russians should attack, were to be flown by Chinook or transport aircraft, Hercules aircraft, to Germany and used as a tactical nuclear battle. At that time in 1980, we were literally one click down from nuclear strike. Public doesn't realize that. That's how close we were. At the same time, this alien spacecraft scrambled the codes for all the tactical nuclear weapons in Britain. A craft landed in the Ukraine and did exactly the same to the Russian stockpile. So there is a history of alien craft intervening to make damn sure that humanity doesn't wipe itself out and destroy the planet.
That I am so appreciative of that information, and of course one of my guests had been a lifelong he called it an abductee, but he was resisting the process for about 10 or 15 years.
Okay.
Jim Sparks, but he had total recall, so it's really a fascinating story, and there's so many people. Helen gosh, now my mind's going blank, but Rachel's Eyes is another wonderful story. You mentioned about the Russians, and it triggered something that seems to be going on right now. There are rumors that Putin was going to release information about something, and one of those somethings was the satellite imagery that proves that 911 was an inside job. And he was supposed to have done that last weekend, according to the, you know, the video reports. And then there's been a lot of strange information circulating that troop movements are occurring. The Russian embassy in the UK may have been deserted or moved out. And obviously, the Americans and the people that they're working with for a darker agenda can't allow anything like that to occur, because it'd be the end of the politics in the United States and probably other countries. So it would just seem logical that that would have been a triggered point, or could be a trigger point, for some kind of action to halt the truth from coming out? Am I seeing something going on, or are we all just being, are we all just picking up on the mind control?
three topics there, Lance. Let me talk you through them in the order that you brought them out. Jim Sparks, as far as I'm concerned, is a very genuine person. Jim Sparks was an abductee, and if I have never, unfortunately, had the pleasure of meeting him, but I know that he was tortured by some of these alien creatures, and if an alien creature tortures you, well, then that's abduction. So I've got a lot of time for Jim. You mentioned the I think it was a book called Rachel's Eyes.
Yeah,
I think it was a book. And that's quite an interesting book because it talks about Men in Black, and it talks about American military and hybridized child. Everything in that book, as far as I'm concerned, is accurate and genuine, and gives a very good indication of what was right then and what is likely going on now. Your third point, and probably the most important point, is the Russian situation. It is the most hottest topic politically on the globe at the moment. The Americans are absolutely red-hot sensitive about this. So are the British, who obviously take their orders from America. I can assure you that there's been no coup against President Putin at this stage. No government would ever, Western government, would ever attack an embassy because that is a declaration of war. What's been happening in Britain is that British helicopters, military helicopters, have been flying close to the Russian embassy. The Russians are concerned that they are being spied on, and so have withdrawn some of their staff from the outer parts of the offices. All embassies have bunkers. Your audience may be aware that President Putin ordered all secret documents to be typed out on 1936 Adler German typewriters, not to use computers, because the National Security Agency of America were actually intercepting their computer traffic. Uh-huh. And so naturally they are typing everything out. And Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor, did exactly the same. So we have a very strange situation where we have Germany and Russia both typing out documents on 1936 typewriters. The reason they went for them, just as an aside, is because these were the only typewriters where there was a great big stock of old ribbons, the black ribbons or the black and red ribbons, so they had to have a big stock of those. So I think Putin got about 12 of these typewriters, and if I remember rightly, Angela Merkel about 6 or 7. So the Russians, what I'm getting to here is the Russians have been incredibly sensitive of the fact that they are being spied on and snooped on, and frankly they just got sick to death of it. So they've moved a lot of their operations down into the bunker parts of their embassies. So it's a red hot political potato at the moment.
Well, I'm so glad that you, I wanted to just not skip over Rachel's Eyes, because when I read it, it moved me to the core, and I contacted Helen Luttrell, the author, and we subsequently became friends over the years. I'm saying that so that people who are listening can Google the book, Rachel's Eyes, by Helen Luttrell, and it is just an incredibly moving story. And she's a wonderful woman, and she still works, and she's in her 80s. She has enough material for another book, but she said, told me that she was afraid that the people who play the dirty tricks and can literally lift the astral body out of your skin when remotely, and do all kinds of horrific things like cancer, riddle your body with cancer, or fry it with a microwave, and these things are just commonplace. They use a lot of psychic technologies. She was afraid of that, so she didn't write her book. But I'm still working on her, and I was hoping she might write something that could be printed posthumously. But anyway, I didn't want to skip over that because she's such a delightful person, and it's a really good book. So back to where we are with today. Putin supposedly has this satellite evidence. As I understand it, 911 was not just done by the various bankers and presidents and insiders and so on in the military and the factions that have access to high technology, but it was also multidimensional, and there were other extraterrestrial races that were involved with that in the planning coordination of that particular event, which gives it a whole different slant. And I was wondering what your take on that is.
Okay. Before I do, there's another name we need to mention here, another very genuine person who's come under much maligned attack, and that's Alex Collier. Alex Collier is a genuine, as far as I'm concerned, a genuine contactee who, in the 1980s, early 90s, very early VHS video, went public with reptilians and missing children. And he'd been tolerated while he talked about aliens, but as soon as he talked about missing children, he received a death threat. And that's why, if your listeners go on YouTube and they try to find out about Alex Collier, there's a good 10-year gap. You see his videos and suddenly he's an old man, 10-15 year gap. And that's because he took the threat on his life very seriously. He dropped out of the scene. And then he thought, you know what, I've got to come back and do it again. And he came back and as a much older person started talking again, and all of a sudden his utilities are cut off. Someone says that he has what they call it, the IRS in your country, in America, the IRS were after him, they'd broken the law, etc., etc. So I just want to make it clear that there are good people who come out there and say things and then get attacked and maligned, and it's not justified. Okay, that's my bang on there with Alex Collier.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, what was the other bit? Was it about the Russian situation again?
Oh, yes. Well, they supposedly have satellite images that prove that 911 was an inside job.
And okay. 911, yeah. Right. Well, what Russia has is a great wealth of information, not just about 911, but about a whole host of things, which I think would thoroughly shock many decent, hardworking Americans or Britons or whatever you want to call it. Putin was quite prepared just to keep his head down and not have to rattle the saber. But when it became obvious that there's a difference between being Jewish and being a Zionist, I myself am Jewish, but I'm not a Zionist. And I do get very cross when people keep on maligning the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Jews, it's the Zionists. It's essentially
a
group
absolutely.
Of people. Well, when you've got elements of Mossad, that's the Israeli Secret Service, who have their own connection, by the way, to an off-world alien race, and you have a link with the Zionists, you have the potential for a lot of big changes on the earth, and any large action will usually have a Mossad or a Zionist group somewhere involved in it. The reason for the Twin Towers, never mind the money side of it, was about timelines.
Mm-hmm.
People misunderstand the word magic. In my life, magic is not magic, it's science. This is as it used to be in the Middle Ages. Magic was never seen as magic, it was seen as science. Alchemy was science, not magic. And when you had great people like Leonardo da Vinci come along and they said, look, here's a flying machine or here's this, that created the world of science, because suddenly you went from the world of the unseen to the world of the seen, and the world diverged into what we now understand as physical science.
And Simon, the world of, I hate to stop you because I would love to keep going, but I just got the message that we have to wrap it up. okay. for the next show. I would love to continue, and so would the listeners. Would love to hear more about this, and I had other questions that, I didn't get to ask. So would you just tell people where they can find you and get more information from you? And would you come back and do at least another hour with me?
I will do, and if you get your listeners to write their questions in or to email the questions into you, then we can be really interactive and I can answer those questions that your listeners put to you directly. If people go to www.simonparks.org, they'll find my website. They can email me as well.
Thank you so much, Simon, and I look forward to being able to continue our conversation.
It's an absolute pleasure. God bless. Take care.
Yes. All right. Good night.